afternoon, everyone, or good evening. My guests, it's evening where they are, and we'll explain that in just a few seconds. Thank you for joining us for Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is about people whose society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know what we are, but not what we will become. I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then reforms into the butterfly. As if that's not difficult enough and not struggle enough, it then has to struggle more to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly and take it wherever it wants to go. I have seen a lot of limits placed on people who have had disabilities or sicknesses. And today, my guests are Shema and Tia of Me and Mini Me, and they're going to explain to you, first of all, why it's evening where they are and what kind of limits Tia has overcome in her young lifetime. So thank you both for joining me today. How are you?
Thank you for inviting us. We're good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Tia.
And I'm Shema.
Awesome. And why is it evening where you are?
Because we live in the UK, London, and the timing's very different. So it's the evening right now.
That's great. So that's probably, I think you're about 6 hours ahead of me. So it's probably around 7 p.m. your time right now. Is that about right?
Yeah, 7 p.m.
All right. Getting close to bedtime at all?
Absolutely.
Yes.
For both of us.
For both of you. Okay. All right. So as I said, you know, I've seen limits placed upon people who have had disabilities and who have had sicknesses. So Tia, do you want to share with us your story about which of those categories you fit into?
Well, I had leukemia, a cancer in the blood, and I was in GOSH for Great Ormond Street Hospital for a long time. And only recently I've done bone marrow transplant.
Oh, as
well.
Wow.
As well.
And so
when I did the bone marrow transplant, I was 10.
And okay. Nope, there seems to be a little bit of a delay. So you were 10 when you did the bone marrow transplant, and how old are you now?
I'm 11.
You're 11. Okay, so the bone marrow transplant was over a year ago, and so how are you doing now?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. So can you tell us?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what it's like having leukemia, having to go through a bone marrow transplant? I'm sure most of my listeners don't know about having either one of those things.
So bone marrow transplant is not like when you think of what are the transplants?
Organ
transplant. It's not an actual procedure like surgery. It's more of a transfusion, like a blood transfusion you would do. And that's what happened, but I have to stay in hospital. I have to stay isolated in a room for at least a month.
No. You were isolated for maybe 5 months.
5 months.
You're in hospital.
Maybe 5 months.
I'm glad you thought it was only a month.
Yeah.
But what I meant was I can't get out of the room for at least 2 months or a month. I can't get out of the room.
Yeah. It's been more than that, but yeah.
But what I'm saying is after during that 5 months I was allowed to go out of the room.
Yeah.
And I did spend Christmas there, and so transplant is more of a blood transfusion, and you have to stay in hospital like a lot for a long time.
And before that?
And before that, you do a lot of like tests and that stuff. And I did a lot of chemotherapy, which just prepares my body for the new blood cells
and radiotherapy,
which I also did. To also get my body like prepared and stuff, because it's quite a harsh like transplant.
So they're giving you basically new marrow. Do they take the old marrow out? How does that work? Why do you have to get this new marrow?
Yes. So because my bone marrow doesn't work properly. So they, with the chemo, they burn all the, like, the bone marrow just melts and it just burns.
And
it dissolves. And the radiotherapy, it just makes it.
It burns every cell.
It burns every single cell. And then they put.
It suppresses it.
Yeah, and then they put the.
The new cells.
Mm-hmm. And because my body is like, oh my God, like, what is this? Like, what's happening? Where are the old cells? It's a bit confused, so that's why coming after the cells, you think, oh, that's it, you know, go back to school, you know, go to wild places, busy places, life's like back to normal like it was. But no, because your body is like, oh my God, this is crazy, this is.
So the body takes time, it gets shocked and it starts to fight the new cells, and there's a lot of complications that happen from there because it's a foreign blood cell. So all the organs are yours, but then the blood that runs to the organs is foreign. So there's a lot of complications. Like one of them is called GVHD, graft versus host disease.
Which is like when you just get lots of like really itchy, like super itchy. Like I think it's worse than chicken pox, like
rash.
And your skin goes purple and red. Like, it's just not even nice to explain because, like, basically if you Googled it, you'd get an idea of what it is, and it's not nice at all.
That's just one kind of GVHD.
That's just one kind of GVHD.
And apparently that's the kind that you had.
I think the internet is a bit slow.
Yes. So the rash that I usually get when I was in hospital was that type of GVHD, which is like a really bad rash.
It does sound
you
extremely
fighting off the new cells.
So it's kind of like a good thing. It means that my body's fighting it at the same time. If that makes sense.
It actually means that the body is trying to also fight the leukemia cells, if there was any leukemia cells
left.
It's a good sign apparently as well, but at the same time it's not too great because it can the body can reject the bone marrow completely, and that's another complication. So there needs to be a balance.
And my understanding with bone marrow, because again, we're speaking about blood, is you have to find a match, and it's not always easy to find a match. Is that correct?
The last thing I heard, it's not always easy. That is correct, Shelley. Some kids and some people are not so fortunate and they can be unlucky, and some may never find a match, and some find a match, but it's a mismatch. It's not a
good one.
10 out of 10 match. And there's huge risks behind, you know, not a great match.
And, you know, sometimes even your family members can, you know, donate the blood, the bone marrow to you. If they have the same blood type as
you. But they're only 50%. They won't be 100%. The only person that can be
is your sibling.
Is your sibling. Not the mum and not the dad, because they're always gonna carry 50% of your genes. Whereas a sibling can potentially be, not all siblings,
but most can be 100%.
Yeah.
So it's easier just to, if it's like an emergency, you would check if your sibling has it. And if they do...
They did, actually. They tested her, and they tested her brother, and they tested me and Dad. But...
Doesn't happen.
I don't think her brother is... I mean, her brother's also... He's special needs, so I think even if he was a match, they weren't going to take that risk. But we were lucky. We didn't wait too long, and they found her a foreign match, and he was a really good match.
Because my blood type is anyone... Basically, anyone can give me blood, but I can't give, like, anyone blood.
She's a rare. I think you're AB negative.
AB negative.
Oh, interesting. There was some... Oh, how long did you have to wait? You said it wasn't long, but how long did you have to wait?
Actually, I'll tell you how it goes. When she relapsed the first time, which was about a year and a half before she did a transplant, her first initial relapse, it's standard protocol that they test everyone in the family in case, the worst case scenario, that chemo doesn't work and, you know, and they end up being down the avenue of needing to do a transplant. But because these tests take a long time to process, they do it really early. So they had the information. It took about 3 months or 6 months for them to get the information. But back then, they thought everything was going well. However... However, when she did relapse a second time and they said that she needed to do a transplant, I think we found a match within a couple of weeks. I mean, while we were preparing, you know, for this big challenge, they found the match pretty quickly, within a week or two. They found someone. It's in a database. I think they have... What they do is they take her DNA and then they put it in like a cross match, and there's specialist nurses and specialist people that work there, and they pull all the data and they try to narrow it down.
And surprisingly, the person that gave me my blood is all the way in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's a big man that gave me blood.
So you've met him or you've just seen pictures of him?
Got a blood in the
man. I haven't, nothing. But I'm hoping one day I can go to him and be like, thank you. And, you know, maybe we can meet up and, you know, have some lunch or something like that.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. That'd be really nice.
Yeah, I agree. But before before the transplant, you're not allowed to know it.
How come?
Oh.
It's standard, I think, throughout. Unless it's a successful transplant, then they reach out and then they ask him, is he interested? And then if he says yes, then we can exchange details.
Have you ever exchanged details? You haven't?
No, not yet.
That's interesting. So I am actually on to be a bone marrow donor if I ever am needed. And I've been on it, I think, about 10 years. And I get an email once a year asking me if I still want to remain on the list. And so I'm happy to meet someone who has needed and received bone marrow from someone, even though it didn't come from me. I'm glad to know that it does work and that there are success stories. I became a donor because we lost a young man in our community to leukemia. And so they were doing blood drives frequently for him or in his name. And they asked anyone who was, I can't donate blood. I actually did live in the UK from 1994 to 97, and that was during the mad cow disease. And because of that, they won't let me just donate blood at a regular donation, but bone marrow is looked at and screened so much more deeply that they would be able to tell if I had any mad cow disease in my system. And so I can be on that list, but I can't donate blood on a regular basis. Did you know that there was such a high... Yes.
Sorry to hear that. But at least you can donate your bone marrow, which is great.
Yes. Yeah. So did you know that there was such
you can save someone's life, maybe, potentially, one day.
Yeah. So can we talk about that for a second? Like, do you have any, like, do you have a call for people, a way to get people to donate or get themselves on that registry? Do you know how someone would go about doing that?
Sorry, what did you say?
The internet is bad. Sorry.
Can you hear them? Do you know how someone goes about getting on the donor registry? Could we give some information about that right now?
Pardon? Sorry, the internet's...
We only heard information at the end.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I'm sorry the internet is not cooperating today. It's exciting that we can connect, but yeah, it's a shame that the internet is not being real fluid for us. Do you know how someone goes about getting on the donor registry?
Cluster. Oh, no. Oh, no. Or maybe there's people with us watching. It's time for you to be wacky.
Can you hear me now?
That's not you being wacky. Say hello.
Am I coming through at all?
I've been wondering if there's anyone at the end of the line.
Anything
at
all now? Something. Am I coming through at all?
Okay.
You definitely can't see you.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't see now. Me. Oh, this is such a bummer. All right. Well, if you can hear me, just go ahead.
Maybe can't see anything though.
If you can hear me, go ahead and just tell us the rest of your story.
We can go ahead. You want us to go ahead and sorry, I didn't say that again. Maybe we'll understand. Go ahead and do what if we can hear you.
Just tell your story.
Would you like us to sing? No, I'm joking. We can't sing. Okay, cool.
So,
Tia had leukemia when she was... Tia was 4 years old when she had leukemia. She's now 11.
And then I relapsed.
And then she relapsed. She completed a treatment, two-year treatment, chemotherapy. Standard chemotherapy, and then 2 years after the 2 years, she had a year and a half of cancer free, and life went back to normal. And then she relapsed again. No, that was her first relapse, I beg your pardon. And that's when they told us about immunotherapy, it's a new drug. And we said, okay, and then we did chemotherapy with it, and we did that. Things were going really well. And routinely, while we were doing some routine chemotherapy in the spine, they just did a little check, and then they found that she actually relapsed in something called an isolated CNS relapse, which means that it's not relapse in the bone marrow, but relapse in the spinal cord, so the central nervous system. And at that point, they then said, well, that concludes that there's only two options. Either we do a bone marrow transplant or we try another drug called CAR-T.
What's but that?
It's like a targeted drug.
What is it, like chemo?
No, it's like immunotherapy. Like blinatumomab, which you took. It targets your cells and then reprograms it.
How come they don't do CAR-T?
They do, but they said that it's better chance. The less relapses, the more likely the transplant works. So they were like, since it's only a second relapse, then the transplant will be more effective. Whereas if someone relapses 3 or 4 times, it becomes less and less effective. So that's why I went down the transplant route. Do you understand?
You pick.
I pick. They always make mommy pick. I don't even know anything about this. I'm like, okay, I don't know, but
the word transplant just seems safer.
I was like, okay, let's do that.
Transplant, no problem.
But yeah, that's your story in short. But how
if
did
you, if we could explain the whole thing, it takes about 3 hours.
Maybe longer. It's so long. But yeah, when she was young, she was just a normal, healthy kid, 4 years old. No issues, no problem in the world. She was never sick, never had a flu or a cold. And then, bam, out of the blue, she started to become less active. She started complaining of neck pains.
Bone pain.
And then bone pain. And she wasn't eating much. She was getting all
sweaty in my
sweaty at night and pale as well.
Pale?
Apparently.
Like a vampire.
Not like a vampire. Not that pale, but.
But like pale.
Like paler than what you look.
I mean, your old skin.
What old skin?
Remember you used to be like really white.
Maybe, I guess.
Like that?
Maybe. Just like less colour. Like you see how you got colour, but you look less.
More colour. Like English type of colour.
No, not like that. No, you haven't changed colour. You just look like you've lost the colour. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not that I picked it up. I didn't pick up the paleness. I didn't pick up the loss of appetite. I didn't see any of those things because she's your child and you see them every day and you don't really notice that because they're kids. One minute they want to eat, next minute they don't. It's other people that picked it up, you know, like teachers and doctors and whatnot. They kind of saw that. And I kept taking her to the doctors back and forth 7 times and they didn't really spot that she had leukemia. It was actually,
somebody
funny enough, an American A&E, accidents and do you call it accidents and emergency? What do you call it?
ER room.
I was going to say RE, religious education room. Emergency room.
Emergency room.
And an American doctor actually said, she said that basically, hold on, can I close this? And basically the American doctor said, oh, there's something not quite right about, you know, young Tia. We don't even have a file on her. And then the past few weeks, we've now seen that she's repeatedly come to A&E. Now, had it not been the American doctor, I must say, English doctors are not proactive like Americans. They kind of go, they kept saying to me,
maybe it's just jealousy.
Just maybe she's jealous from her brother because her brother's special need. Or they were like, maybe she's got growing pain. Or maybe she injured her neck. Maybe she twisted it. And they did all sorts of ultrasounds.
If I twisted it, I wouldn't be going pale and sweating in my sleep.
Wow. It would have taken a simple blood test, but it's something that they don't do easily. I guess because we're at NHS and, you know, every penny counts. They don't spend it out so freely. And that lovely American doctor is the one that did the blood test. And within 2 hours, they knew that there was something wrong with her. They called me back after a doctor off to nursery. They said she needs to come into hematology. They did another blood test. And then once they checked, then they said, you know, we need to see you and daddy. We need to speak to you about something. And then they took us into a room and then they dropped the bombshell and they said she has leukemia. And that was the first time we ever knew about any cancers. There was no cancer in anyone's family. And that was it. That was the ride. It started from there. And we had to tell Tia about it.
I was like, okay.
You're like, yeah, whatever.
And then when I relapsed, I was really, like, annoyed. Really annoyed.
Because you were older.
Yeah, so
I think when you relapsed, you were older. You were how old? 7?
9.
8? No, 8.
9.
8.
9.
Well, you were turning 5 and 2 years, 6, 7, 8.5, 9. She's actually right. God. Yeah. You were older, clearly, from 4.5 to 9. That's...
Told you.
So, yeah, and unfortunately. But that's when she realised what was going on. She understood better.
Like, cancer, that's big.
Yeah.
Look at all my friends. Got cancer, guys. Got cancer. It's a big deal.
Did they think it was a big deal, your friends? I don't know.
Oh, at the beginning, it was like, I don't know. It was like I got, what's that thing?
Attention?
No. What's that olden day virus that went around?
Oh, the plague.
The plague. It's like I got the plague and I was going to die.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everyone was like, ugh. I was like,
damn.
I didn't think they realized after like a while. I didn't think they realized that cancer does go. You get treated for it, and it's modern days now, so it's gonna be fine. But they think cancer's like probably because they watch all those films of, and then they die in the bed with cancer.
I think because they don't know that childhood cancer, especially leukemia, it's very treatable nowadays. So I think that's the difference, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it was just, yeah, one thing after the other. And for me, the one that annoyed me the most is the second relapse. That hit me hard. After all those years, I was like, oh, well. And then, yeah, we had to do a transplant, which is a completely different ball game altogether.
That's basically it.
And then here we are today. She's jolly, fine, doing well, touch wood. And, trying to fight.
Yeah.
Fight on.
Can you hear me?
Hello. We see you.
You can see me. I've been sending you messages.
We've been talking.
That's okay.
Was it contagious?
No,
that's contagious.
Friends.
Yes.
They thought it was contagious.
Yeah.
Like they were going to catch it.
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, guys, it's not contagious. Like, it's not the plague, like I said. Like, it's fine. It's not the flu, like I said, actually. It's not a cold, it's not the flu.
Yeah.
It's like saying, like, I've got diabetes and you're going to get it.
That's true.
It's the next one. It's like, what?
Yes. Are you back to school?
Yes.
Yes. We just started. We had her lines removed. She had a double Hickman line and a peg, which is a gastric tube where they put all her liquid medicines and her,
able to eat.
And her food as well because she couldn't eat. Down the gastric tube, she got that removed, and the double Hickman line is where they put all the IV drugs and they take all bloods from out of there. She had them removed recently and they allowed her to start going back to school, so she just started in September. She'd missed the whole academic year last year, the whole year. She missed a lot before. But
which would be for you guys grade 5 or...
She's saying, what do your friends think now?
They think I'm, like, one of the coolest kids.
Aww. You are
not cool. To be cocky, but not the coolest. I think they think I'm one of the most popular. That's the word. Popular.
Yeah.
Not the coolest. I'm not the coolest, but I'm the most popular because after everything I've been through, everyone just knows me.
Tia. Yeah, she is a bit like a celebrity, and she was on telly as well on our one of the big channels, ITV. You probably remember that, Shelley.
Oh. Yeah.
She was on it with Holly and Craig, and they invited her over the show, and she was a natural. She loved it. So, yeah, she had even more publicity, and everyone was screaming her name even then. That was recently.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Do you worry about having another relapse?
Now and then, I just get bad thoughts and I just let them pass by and like, just bad thoughts and I forget about it. But yeah, sometimes, very rarely.
I think it's natural, to be honest with you, you've had a couple. But it's good that you try and get it out of your mind. I do the same thing like you, by the way. I think that is probably normal. Yes, absolutely normal.
Yeah.
So, good for you.
Sorry, for anyone who is watching, I can chat with them.
To help. Which is nice. tell us more about the art therapy.
So art therapy is more like when you just do art and let your emotions come out on art, and there's no wrong or right, like art lessons where you're taught how to do specific art method or art generally.
And now I've completely lost them. For anyone who is just joining, unfortunately, we have been having some major internet issues with my guests today, Shema and Tia. They are in the UK and I am in the Midwest of the United States. And unfortunately, our internet connection has been very dodgy, to use a British term. So I'm hoping they realize that they have lost connection with me and that they try to reconnect. What I've been doing with some of this dodgy internet is I can privately message them through the StreamYard host that I use for this broadcast. And so I've been sending them little questions because apparently either I'm frozen or they're frozen and we haven't been able to hear each other very well or have a good stream. And so I appreciate those of you who have been listening or been watching and are sticking with it, because it is a very unstable connection, unfortunately. I do want to give them just another minute or so to see if they will hop back on. Basically, what we have talked about so far is the fact that Tia, at the age of 4, was diagnosed with leukemia. As I said, they live in the UK, and they had somehow gotten an American doctor to see her after being at several British doctors. And the British doctors had basically given them the wait and see approach. And it was an American doctor, an ER doctor, they said, who said, you know, she was a perfectly healthy child until recently. And now she's been here multiple times. Let's do some tests. And with a few hours later after these tests, they found out that she had the leukemia and she's gone through a bone marrow transplant. And I've put you back on stage, but I don't have video, but that might help our audio connection. Can you hear me?
Can you hear her?
Yeah. Sorry. The phone
this one,
died.
This one.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. We can try to continue without the video. That may actually help your audio work a little bit better. I was just sort of giving the audience a little recap of what we had covered so far and how I had been communicating with you behind the scenes to try to help us carry on our conversation. So the last thing that you were talking about when the disconnect happened was your art therapy. Would you want to tell a little bit more about that?
So, yes, art therapy is, when you basically do art and, you do it for about half an hour and kind of show your emotions in your art instead of speaking. Because there's normal therapy where you, like, speak to a therapy doctor. Mm. And then there's play therapy. There's all sorts of therapy. But I do enjoy art therapy a lot, but surprisingly I don't like art at all.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. And so what sort of things have you drawn that has helped express how you're feeling? Can you think of anything specific or any emotion maybe that you've shared that maybe you didn't even know you were feeling until you drew something about it?
Very confused. That's a feeling. Confused, scared, worried, all these basic emotions that you feel in your daily life.
Yeah.
That I didn't realize that I felt.
And so when you draw these things out and these emotions come out, then what happens? Does the therapist then talk to you, or do you just keep drawing things, or what's the next step? I've never done art therapy, so I really don't know.
No, so basically you walk into a quiet room where it's private, you don't show anyone your work but yourself and the therapist, and you literally do art for the whole half an hour or however long it is. For the whole session, you just do art, and you can either talk through it or you can just do it without anything, just in silence.
What do you like to do? How do you like to
I like to just
I like to do a lot of abstract paint. I don't enjoy drawing.
But do you talk about it?
It depends if I'm having a good day or a bad day.
So how does the art therapist determine, if you're not speaking, what exactly the emotion is that you're drawing about or coloring about or painting about?
I think you can tell with art. I can tell if the painting's very confusing because that's, for an example, if the painting's confusing, there's a lot of things going on, like you don't even know where to look. Mm-hmm. You would know that this artwork is very quick and confusing. If it's something more like calm, you might see like something, some light colors, like pastel colors, all those sort of stuff. These are just really more so signs that I like to think of art. Like angry, I would like to think of like really hard drawings, like red and black and all these, and like really hard texture as well.
That's very interesting. And I didn't type this in, and I'm glad that the audio is working well enough that we can actually converse now. But are all 11-year-olds in the UK as well spoken as you are?
No.
No.
You are very, I mean, I know that you've gone through a lot of things, but you are very knowledgeable and very well spoken. And I'm guessing that some of you being so well spoken comes from the fact that you and Mum do something together that we really haven't spoken too much about. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yes, I do know what you're referring to. And also, I also say that I'm probably well spoken because I've been with a lot of doctors and nurses and staff in hospital that I've like just picked up that maturity when I speak. That's one of the reasons.
But in all fairness, to be honest with you, I think she's been articulate from a very young age. She was sort of verbal from around 9 months, 10 months. She started to babble. Okay. But I think the thing that helped her is the fact that I used to speak to her like I speak to you now, like an adult. And I think we've always been talking to each other this way.
Like my mum would always say, like, so Tia, like, what do you think I should wear? Like, do you think I should wear this blue top or this green top? Like, what's the weather like today?
And she'd be a complete baby, like baby, like, uh-huh. gaga, like, but I would talk to her like that. And I think she's always been, everyone's picked up since a very young age. She's very well spoken and very mature. And I think the hospital as well, and her exposure to a lot of medical stuff has definitely bumped that up even more.
I agree.
Yeah, I asked that question pretty much knowing the answer to that question, because when I did live in England, we had a British school behind our home. We lived in a small village before we moved on to our base housing. And so I volunteered at that British school, and they were year 4 and 5 and 6, I think. The grades that I volunteered, and they were, I mean, granted, this was 30 years ago, but they, and I'm a teacher here in the United States, and I know my, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 year olds are not as well spoken as you are. So
thank you. That's a nice compliment. Thank you.
Yes, very welcome. So tell us about Me and Mini Me.
So, Me and Mini Me is a podcast that me and my mum came up with because we realized that I have a big mouth and I like to talk, and and my mum
has another big mouth.
we love to talk. And we also figured, being serious, we also figured that we've experienced a lot in life and we should share this with a lot of people, so they like have more information. And we talk about loads of things. Sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's serious. And sometimes it's just like, you know what, let's just talk. We should put a mic in front of ourselves and talk, like we're just having a normal conversation. doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, just it's about parenting. It's about childhood cancer. And the aim is to raise awareness for childhood cancer, because I don't think many people realize that, you know, childhood cancer is really important, and nobody realizes that as much as they should. Right. They focus a lot on other things that I think personally aren't as important as childhood cancer.
What would be an example of something you don't think is as important as childhood cancer?
Pardon?
What is an example of something you think people focus on that isn't as important as childhood cancer?
Like things that are like NHS, raising like charities for, I don't know, things that you don't matter in your everyday life, if that makes sense. Like every day there are at least seven children who are diagnosed with cancer every day. And I don't think people realize that. And they spend a lot of their time on like charities like, do you know Make-A-Wish?
Yes.
Or Rays of Sunshine, or these charities. They are very important, but I think they get so excited about it that they completely forget about the actual childhood cancer that they should like be helping in, like raising awareness. And
so you mean like more funding for research, yeah, for treatments?
Because I think these charities do really like help a child, but I do also think that, you know, they pay too much attention on that, and they get a bit carried away and they completely forget about the children who are in hospital that really need that medicine and all that kind of stuff that they use.
But they're ultimately there to help those children, though. That's the whole point of these charities, is to help sick children in hospital.
Well,
I think what would be more useful is if people focus less on things like sports and football and all of these things, if some of that money can actually be rerouted towards, you know, clinical trials and new drugs. And there's a lot of money spent in gambling and lotteries and in lots of, you know, like football is a prime example. Millions and billions of money are spent there, but nothing near that money is spent in childhood cancer. Like, whether it's in the UK or the US, it's not enough. Like, we talk so much about, you know, you guys do so much for Super Bowl, but what do you do for childhood cancer? Like, you know, we're still very backwards in that area. It's, yes, there is, you know, some improvements, but nowhere near what could have been achieved for these kids and the future kids.
Yeah, I am 100% in agreement. We spend way too much on things that aren't life changing or life affirming. And way too much on things for just entertainment purposes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am 100% in agreement with the both of you in that regard. And so I don't know if you can still see the screen or not, but I have put up the YouTube link to your YouTube channel. And I know that the podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, and it is called Me and Mini Me. Is the podcast available anywhere else?
It's available on Spotify as well and on YouTube.
Okay.
And Google.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so basically if you just search Me and Mini Me
on Spotify, mainly Spotify.
Okay. Search Me and Mini. Some people struggle to find it, but if you do search Me and Mini Me podcast, you'll find.
And there's a website.
And there's a website as well for Me and Mini Me.
There is.
Wanna, yeah. Yes.
It's just called
Me and Mini Me podcast.com.
Any spaces?
No, website is www.meandminimepodcast.com.
Oh, podcast. I skipped the word podcast. Okay. I'm going to put that in here and I'm going to see if I can find, because I did look for it because I wanted to, I have a very bad habit of picking up people's accents that I really love, especially because I lived in England. I sometimes think I can speak British with an accent.
And it's all right. So does my daughter, by the way. She puts on an accent. She loves it.
So I caught myself there just kind of having the little lilt on the and okay, I found your website. There we go. Awesome. So I'm going to put that into so that'll be in the chat as well, and that people can hopefully find that. Because I have listened to a few of your episodes and I find them very charming, very delightful. I listened to the one about the Barbie movie, where you had your, I think that was the episode where you had your friend join you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there it is. Me and Minnie Me podcast.com. And it's spelled just like it sounds. Nothing spelled strange.
No surprises.
Yeah. Not like my name. My name has an extra E in it where people don't typically put an E. And so that always confuses people when they look me up. So Shema and Tia, I'm so appreciative that you have joined me today, that you have popped back on even when the internet tried to cut us apart. I just want to, I know you said you had a time constraint and we've been on for quite a bit of time, but I just want to make sure that you have shared the things that were most important to you when you thought about coming on to this episode today.
Have you?
I have, since we were talking about Tia. So I think we shared the most important thing, and it was the last bit for me to, you know, tell everyone to raise awareness, ultimate campaign for childhood cancer. But yes, I absolutely were honored to have the mic and the opportunity and for my child to talk and to tell a story. So I really do appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Tia, what about you?
I'm very happy and very satisfied. I actually do have a quote in my bedroom with the Dwayne Rock Johnson said it. He said, wake up determined, go to bed satisfied. And I really like that quote because I always try to wake up determined, and then my goal is to go to bed satisfied, not feeling like I haven't achieved my goal of the day.
And you have today.
I have today. Yes, that's here. Our podcast.
Yeah. Can you see the screen? I popped up your website so that everyone can check it out. So it does look like you have a blog here. And that leads me to a question I just thought of. Is there a potential book going to come out of all of these, adventures that you've had?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, we've never been, no one's ever asked. I don't know. Never thought about it. That could be a new adventure.
Yeah. I love writing books and stories. So if that were to happen, I would be the author and my mum would maybe be
the illustrator. The illustrator.
You could use some of your art if you wanted to share from your art therapy. Yeah. Of course, if you did not want to share because that is very private, you know, of course you wouldn't have to. But I am an author, and I had a young girl, younger than you, from Canada a few weeks ago on the show, and she is an author. So age does not determine at what point in your life you can be an author. So that is definitely, especially since you already have a blog out and you've already got several blogs that, you know, you've already put out there. You can probably very easily turn that into a type of a book, or even just some of your podcast episodes. You could turn those into a book, maybe.
That sounds exciting. Yeah.
Something for you to think about.
That could be in the next adventure.
And I'm going to start, I'm already working on something on a PowerPoint. I'm already working on like a demonstration kind of on cancer.
Presentation.
Yeah.
Maybe I could turn it into a book. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And an ebook, I think you need 10 pages for an ebook to be an actual ebook. So that's all you need is 10 pages, and then you could be a published author.
Yeah.
I think I might actually start working on a book.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you for the idea. Okay, well, in the dedication page, just make sure you say that the idea was mine. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yes, I will. I will.
She will.
Well, it's been, like I said, it's been very delightful to chat with the both of you today. I'm sorry we had the internet problems, but I'm glad that you came back and you stuck with me. And hopefully if you're ever in the United States or if I ever get back to England, which I want to so badly, it has literally been 25 years since I was there that, and I miss it. It was such a beautiful country and I had such a wonderful time there that maybe we could meet in person. I'm not your bone marrow donor, but hopefully you get to meet that person as well someday. And thank you to everyone who has watched and who has participated. Make sure to leave us a live or a replay, whichever you're watching. And if you have any questions for me or you have any questions for Shema or Tia, let me know. Put them in the chat. I will make sure to get them to you. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. And again, Tia, and thank you. God's blessings to you both on your next adventures and your journeys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelley Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelley Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelley Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shelleykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shelleykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.